serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. We're going to spend about a half hour with you, not quite, but real close, talking today about the importance of Christians being people who praise the Lord. And so I hope that that is something that you are not just sitting back idly and letting someone else do, but instead that you are an active participant when it comes to praising the Lord. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Tonight at 165 North Grove Street, we're going to be studying the Word of God. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 3. We're studying the seven letters to the churches right now. We take a letter a week. I think we got one more week to go after this week. And so I just would like to invite you out. We don't read the Bible just because it's something to do. We read the Bible so that we can know God better, know what we're supposed to do, know what the future holds, so that we know how to live our lives now. So tonight at 7 p.m., we have a kids class. We have the adult Bible study. We have a young adult class as well. And we'll keep you up to date on any future events that may or may not be happening on Wednesday nights. We're going to dive into the Word of God now. We're going to be in Psalm 22. Hopefully, we will see you at church tonight at 7. If you do come and haven't been there before, there's a very popular restaurant right across the street. The parking on Grove Street is public parking, so it's, even though there's parking spots right in front of the church, sometimes those get filled up. A lot of times that depends on the weather, because they have indoor seating and outdoor seating. But if you don't find a parking spot out in front of the church on Grove Street, there is a parking lot in the back, and you can park there, and there's sidewalks and everything that get you into our sanctuary. Would be thrilled to meet you, to see you, and want to invite you out. And if you do come, make sure that I get to say hello to you and thank you for listening to the Refresh radio program. So today we're going to go to Psalm 22. This is a messianic psalm in that it, when I read verse 1 to you, you're going to recognize it from the New Testament. You may not have known that it was a prophetic fulfillment that Jesus did upon the cross. And so we're going to read. I think what I'm going to do today is read the entire psalm. There's 31 verses. And then we're going to talk about praising the Lord and what it means in our life as we, you know, come back and recap. So Psalm 22, this is a psalm of David. It says, here, see if these words sound familiar, maybe like someone mentioned them on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, here you go. He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Again, another messianic fulfillment. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Again, Jesus, I can count all my bones. They look at me and, or they look and stare at me. Listen to this. They divide my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots. And for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me, O my strength, capital S. Hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. So there are two different words that are used in Psalm 22 when it comes to the concept of praises. One of them is a noun and one of them is a verb. And so in verse number 3 is the first place that we find the word praise in Psalm 22. And it starts off by saying this. It says, but you, God, capital Y, are holy. You are holy. So before we get to the concept of praising, now we talked about with Leah how she was praising in an attitude of thankfulness for what God had done for her, and she found in God things that she could not find in her relationship with her dad, her husband, or her brother, or her sister, sibling, sorry. And so there's that attitude of thanksgiving. Here we are talking about praises that have every correlation to the nature and to the acts or the actions that God has done. And so this verse number 3 starts off and says, God, you are holy. That means that he is sacred. He is holy. And as I was studying this word, by the way, I'm very thankful that I decided to dive into this study, because even though I've taught on praising the Lord before, I learned some things that were new, that things that I had not put in that perspective before as I was studying. Now, I know God is holy. I know that God is sacred. He is set apart. And it's not close. There's not anybody that can rival the character, the nature, and the actions that God can do. But as I was studying this concept of praising God for his nature, I ran across this expression when it was describing the fact that he is sacred. That it means he is separate from human sin, human impurity, and human infirmity. So I found that to be a wow statement. I like wow statements. I like things that it's like, that is profound. That has significance for the way that we think about and ponder God and all that he does. A lot of times people tend to have a mythological view of God. And what I mean by that is that, like the mythology of the Greeks and Romans and most other religions at that time, their concept of deities were that they were individuals. They were normally polytheistic, not monotheistic. And they thought of their deities as just being glorified humans with the same failures and shortcomings and character flaws of humanity. So it was not uncommon for their demonic gods to have immorality and be irrational and have the same sort of behavior and consequence many times as what humans have. Unlike those type of deities, man did not create God in his image. God created man in his. And the image that he created man in was body, soul, and spirit, but he created us in a sinless environment. And because of that, Adam and Eve were able to thrive in the Garden of Eden. God just put one boundary in place for them. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, there had already been a rebellion against God by angelic beings that had followed Lucifer, and they wanted a place that God had not assigned them. They wanted God's place, not their place. They abandoned their place, and in doing so, they, instead of achieving more, they found out that they were not even close to the nature of God. And so God was looking to create a group of individuals, human beings, that would choose him. And yet we chose poorly. We chose to believe the devil's lies, and as a result, our image, the image that mankind was created in, was damaged and distorted and perverted. As a result of that, we experienced sin, missing the mark. We experienced the consequence, the guilt, the shame, the punishment no longer were we pure, but and now we were impure. And because of that, death and sickness entered the world. But before all of that had ever taken place, Jesus was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. So Jesus, who was above and separated from humanity, chose, in accordance with the Father's great love for mankind, to come and give his life as a sacrifice. Make no mistake about it. Jesus did not die for his sin. He died for my sin and your sin and the sin of the world. And so the availability of restoration to a condition of holiness is possible. Holiness is not something to be avoided. Holiness is something to be longed for. In fact, I don't know of anybody who's looking to go to heaven and is looking at heaven in such a way that they say, oh, well, in heaven, we're still going to have the same problems that we're going to have here on earth. No, we're looking for heaven because Jesus is the thing, is the person that makes heaven heaven. And we are going to experience an eternity of holiness that has separated mankind from sin, that has separated us from impurity and separated us from sickness and death. So that's holiness. And God tells us to be holy even as he is holy. That's Old Testament. It's also New Testament. I think it's funny sometimes how some people look at some of the mandates of God and they say, well, you know, I don't need to do that. That's Old Testament versus New Testament. Well, the New Testament didn't lower the standard. The New Testament raised the standard. The standard for mankind has always been that God wanted a holy people separated to himself, not somebody that's looking to be just like the rest of the nations of the world, but someone who says, you know, I may not have seen a burning bush, but I've seen a Savior on a cross. I may not have seen a parted Red Sea, but I have seen a tomb that was once occupied that is now empty. And I want to worship him. So that I found that to be very interesting, that we, as we praise him, we need to remember that he is far and above all of the shortcomings and all of the challenges and the problems and the consequence of sin that we deal with here on earth. We need to remember that God is holy. That is his nature. And when God acts, he acts out of his nature. And those actions demand response. And the only adequate response to what God does for you and for me is to praise him. So here a few weeks ago, there was a very important thing, project that my wife was working on. It involved, you know, contacting other people, and those people, when contacted, were out of the area. There was a deadline, and she was praying about that. She was diligent in doing everything that she could on her end, but there were other people involved. And, you know, whenever there are other people involved, that can have some challenges and some disruptions. And time for the deadline got closer and closer and closer, to the point it was less than 72 hours away, I believe. And all of a sudden, there was a response. And when she was getting ready to go to sleep that night, she was reminded, God, I need to tell you thank you for providing the answer that she needed just in time. And so we, a lot of times we cry out to God for deliverance. And when deliverance comes, a lot of times we are so busy with life that we forget to praise him. And I want you to know that praise and thanksgiving is something that we don't do just because it changes us, but we also praise God because of who he is and how superior he is and how holy he is and the fact that he acts in our on our behalf because he loves us and has a plan and a purpose for our lives. So because God is holy, it says here that he is enthroned in the praises of Israel. And so here we see the noun aspect of it. Another translation says he inhabits the praises of his people. It's not that those are two different meanings. They just one of them has a more regal approach to it. The word does mean to remain. It means to dwell, but it means to dwell with a covenant life. In other words, this is not a one-night stand. God has set up as his address the praises of the people of God. And when the people of God bring their praises to him because of his holiness and because of how holy he is and how wonderful and good he is and compassionate to his people, and they start praising him, God comes and establishes his throne room right there. So, in the New Testament, there's a verse that says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Those were the words of Jesus. And I like to couple that verse, that principle, with this verse and this principle, that when Jesus shows up in the midst, he's not there as an innocent bystander. He's there as the king. He's there sitting on his throne. And so I like to think of whenever we are praying together and, you know, we've engaged more than just ourselves. And we have that problem surrounded by faith, and we start praising God because every enemy of man will be the footstool of God's throne. And so here it means that he is there enthroned, and the praises are songs of praise. They are something that sometimes involves the playing of instruments. That leaves me out. You don't want me playing an instrument. I can do okay with a tambourine, but that's okay. You want somebody else that's more gifted in playing the instrument, but I want to be there. It talks about as the vines Expository Dictionary was talking about, it talks about that there can be a holy shouting. Now, that makes some people's theology squirm a little bit because they think of God as being very somber and very quiet. But there's a verse in Zephaniah that describes when God's people praise him, that God is rejoicing in such a manner that it is like a top spinning at a high rate of speed. He rejoices over us with singing. And so I want to praise him. Sometimes I praise him quietly. Sometimes I praise him in a normal voice. Sometimes the presence of God is so good that I want to lift my voice and praise him with all that I have inside of me, because it is a way of expressing the thanksgiving that I have and also the adoration that I have for him. So several years ago, one of our grandchildren was playing T-ball. And my normally soft-spoken wife, her voice is not super, super strong. She uses her voice a lot. She talks on the phone at work. And so sometimes when she gets home, her voice is just a whisper. But when it came time for the grandson to be out there playing T-ball, you could hear her cheering for her grandson and our grandson at the top of her lungs. I'd look over and it's like, wow, no one would have seen that coming. It wasn't because my wife is a tremendous baseball fan. It wasn't because she was a big T-ball fan, or she likes basketball. I don't care for basketball that much, but that's one of the things that she likes. And but she was all in, not because of the sport, but because of the participant. And I think that you and I will make huge advancements in our relationship with God when we say, God, I'm all in on you because you are my Lord. And when we start praising him, he sets up his throne. Here's what I want to close out today's program. The only place that you should ever praise God is wherever you want him to set up his throne. I want him enthroned at church, at home, in my health, in my spirit, at work, in my family, everywhere. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.